we'll be able, both of us, I'll just say soon, both of us can advocate for things from the other side of the dais.
Oh, I intend to.
Maybe together.
I would love that. Fun.
I would On that, that note, since we only have a few of these left, I will call to meet. Call to order the Monday, October 17th, 2022 Desert Community Energy Board meeting at 2 p.m. If we can get a roll call, please.
Good afternoon, City of Palm Desert.
Good afternoon to you, Ms. Felci. Palm Desert is present.
City of Palm Springs.
I am here.
Carrie, you have a quorum.
Great. Thank you so much. Any modifications to the agenda?
There are none.
Okay, we will continue. So next is our public comments on agenda items. Anyone who would like to address the Desert Community Energy Board on items appearing on this agenda may do so at this time. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you have a comment on an agenda item and would like to wait, please let us know now, and we will accommodate you till that agenda item. Please raise your hand if you're on Zoom, star 9 if you're on the phone. I don't see any. Do you have any?
Chair, we see no hands raised and we received no written comments.
Okay, so we'll end our public comment period and move over to board member and director comments. Do we have any board member or director comments?
I do, but certainly would defer to the board first.
No, please.
I'm here, thank you.
Oh, just a few things. I've got one quick slide to remind those of you that may have seen the Desert Sun a few days ago, and there was an article on the future of gas stations. And I don't know if the two of you saw that article, but it did highlight that one of the reasons for this Palm Springs startup to be a Palm Springs startup in Palm Springs was the availability of DCE 100% carbon-free electricity. And they went on to say they chose it because it may have been the lowest cost in the state. I haven't been able to completely confirm that, but it certainly is a competitive 100% carbon-free statewide, and that's certainly good news. You could leave the slide, please. And then just a couple of other quick things that you might remember at the last board meeting, I mentioned that we did a little bit of comparison on the 100% carbon-free and compared it to Edison's 100% carbon-free product. Frankly, Edison 100% carbon-free product is very attractive if you could get it, and it has not been available to customers for a few months. So we decided to dig in to find out how many customers actually have been able to make themselves available to use Edison's product. And it was measured in the a couple of thousand customers, while of course, DCE has over 20,000 in its 100% carbon-free. And I pointed out in that memo that Edison's service area is 100 times larger than DCE's. So the fact that you're doing so much with a relatively small service area really means a lot to your community and apparently to some businesses and certainly the environment. And then lastly, kind of tied to all that, we're going to get our 2021 power content label out in the next day or two. Edison just released its, and ours will go out in the next day or two once we get a signature from Chair Coors, which we'll track him down in the next day or two. And in that power content label, your customers are going to find out that they've taken off 22,752 cars off the road last year. And most of that is from the DCE carbon-free product. But even the DCE Desert Saver product took off 1,000 cars. And that to me is just frankly amazing. And I've been in this business for a long time trying to do things to get people off, out of cars and into bikes and everything else. There are very few things that we can do as government that have such an impact, such a direct impact on reducing GHG emissions. So the board's done a great job and weathered some financial storms. We're going to do even more this year coming up. And look forward to having you, pipe in as, I guess, public commenters to do so in the future.
Great.
That's the extent of my report.
Great. Thank you for that. And thank you for all the great work staff has done, because we can set policy, but everyone else involved is implementing, and the results have been really tremendous. I did want to raise one thing also related to that article and my comments in it. We did, I think, in the spring, start some discussions about educating our business, working with the Tourism Bureau in Palm Springs and Visit Greater Palm Springs and others to be promoting that we do have 100% carbon free available in Palm Springs. Hopefully more businesses will sign up for it, but it's a great way to also attract businesses here who want to be doing that. And we know from the studies I chair the JPA for Visit Greater Palm Springs, that for younger travelers, sustainability is in the top three reasons they select a place. So the more we could do that, and I know we were holding off given people are gone over the summer and everything else, but to revisit where we were, which was, I know we already have decals and other things printed to really help recognize the businesses that are 100% carbon free with DCE, and potentially even the houses who want to do that, to help promote it and let customers know when they're going to a business that is really out there supporting the environment. So if we maybe can set something up just to do some follow-up on that and bring something back that, the vice chair and I can discuss while we are still here this year, I think it would be really great to get that information out there to the public.
We will do that and bring something back at the very least as an information item and maybe put more for your next meeting.
Great. And that's all I have on that. So with no other board or director comments, move to the consent calendar. Anything anyone wants to discuss separately? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Move the consent calendar.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Yes, okay, that carries unanimously. We will now move to our discussion and action items. I see Mr. Friedman is joining us for DCE's 2022 Integrated Resource Plan. So welcome,
Mr. Friedman. Thank you, Chair Kors. Good afternoon, and Vice Chair Jonathan, as you mentioned. This item is for Desert Community Energy's 2022 Integrated Resource Plan, or IRP. Now, the IRP is a requirement for all load-serving entities, or LSEs, including Desert Community Energy and other community choice aggregation agencies. And the goal of the new 2022-23 IRP cycle is to ensure that the electric sector is on track between now and 2035 to support California's economy-wide greenhouse gas or GHG reduction goals and achieve the state's target of 100% renewable and carbon-free electricity by 2045. The IRP must be submitted every 2 years to the California Public Utilities Commissioner, CPUC, and DC's previously done IRPs in 2020 and 2018 that you may recall. And this year, the IRP is due on November 1 in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks. For the 2022 IRP, the LSEs are required to provide planning information out to 2035, and planning efforts will be focused around 2035 GHG reduction and reliability results. The IRP provides an opportunity to communicate DC's resource planning policies, objectives, and planning framework to the public and key stakeholder groups. And as required by the CPUC, IRP filings are posted on DC's website, which we will do following the CPUC filing on November 1. Now, the 2022 IRP was prepared on DC's behalf by MRW and Associates, LLC or MRW, under the agreement that you approved at your July 2022 meeting. On preparation of the IRP involved creating detailed estimates of the GHG and criteria pollutant emissions of DCE's portfolio, as well as verifying that assigned GHG planning benchmarks are met. And staff directed the IRP preparation and provided input to MRW on DCE procurement and GHG reduction policies that are reflected in the IRP. And these include DCE's preference to source green energy from local generation and its internal goals for green power supply that you've set. The Energy Authority also provided further input to ensure that the IRP is consistent with DC's overall procurement and her efforts. Now, staff recommends that the board adopt resolution number 2022-09, approving Desert Community Energy's 2022 Integrated Resource Plan. And that concludes my staff report. I am available for any questions you may have. And Mary Neal of MRW, as well as Jacqueline Haar of the Energy Authority, are also available.
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Friedman. Vice Chair Jonathan, any questions or comments?
I have no questions other than to express my gratitude to Mr. Friedman and the rest of the team. Quite a comprehensive report. I would be prepared to move for approval of staff recommendation at the appropriate time, Mr. Chair.
I'll take that as a motion second the motion as well as your comments. It was a really thorough report, and I could follow it, which I always appreciate, really appreciate all the great work. So I will second that. If we can have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes, the motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Our second item is the DCE Financial Outlook. Always look forward to this. So welcome, Jacqueline Haar.
Hi, nice to be here. All right, so we're trying out a new thing where I control the slides today. So if there's any slide mishaps, that's all on me. But we keeping it relatively tight, going to go over key takeaways in the financial picture, as well as cover the heat wave that occurred in early September across the state and the impacts to DC from that. So nothing too wild in this update. The key takeaways first is on prices. Forward energy prices are increasing for 2023, kind of been the story for the past few years in this sector of just prices going up along with, I guess, pretty much every other sector out there. And the prices have remained flat since the last time we met in July for this year. DCE is fully hedged for 2022, meaning that we've done basically all of the procurement other than some minor portfolio optimization for the rest of the year. So we don't really see that price for DCE changing for the rest of this year. And 2023 is over 80% hedged. So we've locked down most of the prices for 2023 as well. And that reduces DCE's risks of having a very expensive summer or anything of that nature. Moving on to the net revenue. Overall, DCE's net revenues are in good progress towards building up that financial reserve that we all know DCE needs. And right now the net revenue forecast for 2022 is $5.7 million. And this is partially due to just having a very strong August time period. We had very strong revenues during that period. It wasn't particularly hot, but it was just consistently hot. So high energy usage and therefore higher than forecasted revenues. And then the net revenue forecast for 2023 is up. And it is now at 16 million. And so, that is based on power costs are increasing. So that eats into the margin, but there is a high expectation that SE rates will also increase next year. And we can talk about that a little bit more when we get to that slide. In terms of, what we're looking for to slowly build into DCE's cash reserves, somewhere in the 25 million range is around 180 operating days of DCE expenses. So 16 million obviously gets us quite a ways there. I think the board can discuss, what to do with that revenue, how to potentially adjust rates or anything of that nature once we actually get those rates locked in, which we aren't quite there yet. It is a rosy picture after the past couple of years of financial hardship. Moving on to the next slide, first just to discuss a little bit about that early September heat wave. So the chart you see at the bottom of this slide shows power prices in the day ahead market, the 15 minute ahead market, and the 5 minute market for California as a whole. And so these were some of the prices that DCE was exposed to during certain hours of the day. So September 1st was a Thursday at the start of that heat wave. Then we saw the prices drop down a little bit over the holiday weekend. That was the Labor Day weekend. And then bounced back up for the sort of the work week before temperatures cooled down finally on Friday. I think there's a little bit of a rainstorm in part of Southern California and really depressed prices again. And so not going to get into, you know, which color is the day ahead market versus the 15-minute market versus the 5-minute. You know, it's kind of a in the weeds sort of thing, but just really wanted to show you that, you know, the prices that you see, for example, on September 9th are typical California, you know, fall, even middle of the summer prices, you know, pretty high at, you know, $250. So that's what we saw on September 9th when the weather got back to normal. On the days when the heat was really hitting and loads were very high, you know, prices went up to the market cap. So that market cap is at 2000. And you can see that, I believe it was the 15-minute market that hit that cap. And, you know, the rest of the days were very inflated as well, you know, over 1000 for many of the days. California just avoided having rolling blackouts, kind of by the skin of our teeth. If you got the alert on your phone, I believe on Tuesday evening, saying turn off the power or we're going to have rolling blackouts, you know, they sent that to pretty much everyone in California, and it was quite effective in bringing loads down enough to avoid those rolling blackouts. But there still was, you know, significant strain on the grid and significant financial impacts. And, you know, I think this is just a really great example of the fact that, you know, these happen irregularly, hard to plan for, but we do know that they are going to happen. And that's why, you know, hedging strategy to reduce DC's exposure to these very high prices is really important, as well as making sure that, you know, DCE is set up financially well to, you know, absorb some of these costs when they do occur. So like I was saying, you know, DCE was well hedged for this time period for September, on average, over 100% hedge, 113% hedge for those peak hours when energy prices go the highest, peak hours being kind of the middle of the day through that evening ramp. And again, 107% hedged. So, you know, again, over 100% hedged on average for the off-peak hours. That being said, on an hourly basis, it's very tricky to get DCE 100% hedged in every hour of every day. So there is some price exposure just because DCE's peak is so high that paying for a hedge for those specific hours really doesn't become cost effective. So there is some price exposure and there is some financial impact. So that meant that DCE's invoice for energy purchased from the California Independent System Operator, the CAISO, was higher than normal for this particular week. You know, that being said, we do expect revenues to come in higher than normal to offset that to some extent. And, you know, this is what we plan for, T staff as well as DCE staff, in terms of how we set the budget. We don't know when the sort of heat event will occur, but we know that they do occur regularly, and we need to build in margin for that. You know, essentially, when you look at the finances, that first week of September, way higher than expected, but the other three weeks of September, much lower than expected. So on average, they even out to about where we were expecting to be for the whole month. Any questions on this? All right.
I'm sorry. I do have didn't know whether you wanted to save questions till the end. I have a question on the financial forecast, and we can come back to that at the end if you prefer.
Sure. Let's go ahead and save that for the end. I just have a few more slides here going through everything. So going out a little bit more broader out of just, you know, that week in September to the overall DCE forecast for 2022. I have two charts here, comparison to what you saw back in July. That's the blue charts. And then, you know, the most recent update for this presentation. Numbers for what we expect the total revenue to be for 2022 and what we expect it to be for 2023. So overall, as I mentioned, good news overall, slight increase in where we expect 2022 revenues to come in at. That's primarily due to, you know, higher than expected revenues in August, likely also to some extent in September. And then in 2023, that boost that you're really seeing is the impact of the expected increase in SCE rates and DCE rates being modeled after SCE rates. Going to total cost, we have gotten the cost down a little bit. So even with that September heat wave, you know, overall, we've, you know, tried to really optimize DCE's portfolio and have brought down the cost a teeny bit from what we were forecasting it would be back in July. So a little bit lower cost than expected for 2022 on forecast. 2023, we are continuing to see that run up in energy prices. And so that's reflected in the higher pricing for 2023. And then that gets us to the final net revenue, which is that with a better than expected revenues and slightly lower than expected costs, we're on track with for DCE in 2022 to come in just under $6 million in total net revenues. And then for 2023, we're predicting roughly the same, almost exactly the same amount that we were predicting back in July, the increase in revenues being offset by the increase in costs. So having a $16 million net revenue absent any other action from the board. And then just to go through, you know, where rates are, you know, I mentioned that we are expecting rates to increase next year. You can see that on this graph. So there's two rates in play here. One is the SCE generation rate. That's forecasted to go up. You know, the main thing I would draw your attention to is, you know, the summer rates that we had this year at 120, and then the forecast for those rates to increase to 140 for the summer of next year. And, you know, that's being driven by the increase in costs that you know, we're forecasting elsewise. SCE is subject to the same, you know, cost environment that DCE is. They're seeing these forecasted higher rates and they need to increase their rates as well to just make sure that, you know, money in and money out balance out. The other rate here is the PCIA. That is the amount that DCE customers pay for legacy generation that's in SCE's portfolio that was procured on their behalf before they joined DCE. You'll note that the PCIA has been basically zero for all of 2022. That means that the legacy generation in SCE's portfolio that DCE customers are expected to pay a portion of, that generation has been earning enough in the market that there is no above market costs that need to be captured in rates. And you can see that the forecast for next year is that that generation will earn so much in the market that DC customers will actually get a rebate in the PCIA rate. So, you know, both of these numbers are positive changes when we think about the revenue that DCE will collect. And then last slide I have here is just a presentation of the energy prices that we're seeing. The blue is the prices that we saw back in July, and then orange is going to be the prices that we're seeing forward today. So solid is the peak hours and dashed is off peak. So you can see that we had this forecast of having highest prices occurring in August during those peak hours of this year. When we go to what really happened, we had super high prices occur in September overall, driven by that first major heat wave. And you can see that the forecast is that, you know, prices may get up that high again next summer. Currently forecasted for August, since that tends to be the hottest month in California, but could just as easily be September as we saw this year. And off-peak prices are also rising to some extent as well. So that price environment is what's driving up costs for DCE forecasted for 2023. And that's my last slide. So glad to take questions now.
Great. Thank you so much, Vice Chair Jonathan. And good job moving the slides.
Yeah.
I don't always do that.
Yeah, it's wonderful when technology actually works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the financial forecast. I think you're looking at 5.6 million net revenue this year, 16 million next year. First, net revenue represents the bottom line net income, right? The gross revenue less all expenses, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so you stated our goal of establishing a reserve, a robust reserve, and I, of course, embrace that. But it occurs to me that we have a line of credit out there with 2.2 million, and interest rates are rising and are expected to continue doing so. So even though we do have a goal of building up reserve, are we, and this may be a question that needs to be answered by Claude at our next meeting, are we looking at some point paying down or paying off the line of credit?
Tom, I'm pretty aware of what Claude and Janice are doing, but glad to defer to you if you would prefer to answer that question.
Go for it. And we do have okay. Janice on board. Claude is in another meeting. So if three of us can't do it, we'll have Claude do it at the next meeting.
Yeah. So I would just say that Janice is 100% on top of managing that line of credit very carefully, making sure that DCE isn't paying out any extra interest above and beyond it needs to manage its dollar amounts. You know, I think she and our analyst, Chris, who is deep in our TEA's financial model, you know, have interactions on a daily basis to make sure that they're in line up and understand exactly how the money is moving back and forth.
Okay, then I would just offer the observation, and Janice, you may want to comment on this, that there is a rate differential between what we're paying on the line of credit and what we're earning on funds in the bank. So we're obviously out of pocket. The nice thing about a line of credit is that if you pay it off and kind of stop the hemorrhaging, if you will, not hemorrhaging, but bleeding, then if circumstances necessitate it, the nice thing about a line of credit is you can always go back into it. So I would just, I'm glad to hear that you're on top of it. I would encourage staff to strongly consider, with rates rising, that we consider a pay down or a payoff, at least temporarily and hopefully permanently, of the line of credit.
That is exactly the attitude the staff is taking. So every opportunity that we can make a payment towards the balance, we do so. I push to the very last minute to draw against it if we need to, but we are doing everything we can to minimize the impact of the interest we pay on that loan.
Prudent financial management. I love it. Good job. Thank you.
Yeah, we're getting out of the, we're getting out of the tricky months where we have, you know, these high energy bills and then revenues come in several months later. Now we're going to be getting into a calmer period where, you know, I think that line of credit will become more of a safety measure than something we're actively using.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, that's all the questions I have.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for your report.
You're welcome.
And we will move on to our October 2022 rate adjustment summary. See Dom joining us. Welcome, Mr. Dean.
Can everybody hear me?
We can. Please go ahead.
And I apologize. I'm not quite aware of how to. Let me see what I've got here. I'm trying to do a view option here. And I am not seeing what I generally do to show my face on the screen. So you will enjoy me faceless today in that case. And good afternoon, Chair Kors and Vice Chair Jonathan. We are going to briefly discuss our DCE October 2022 rate adjustment. And I too am controlling the slides for the first time from my screen, and successfully as the case may be. As a summary, Southern California Edison had a 3.4% average generation rate increase commencing October 1st of this year. I apologize for that. Let me go back one. And DCE had a commensurate rate increase, although it didn't average 3.4%, the generation rate comprises, with a little bit of a hand wave. I apologize again for that. I just had someone show up at my house and my dog doesn't like it, so my apologies. And I am having trouble controlling slides here. I'm not seeing my little... So let me take it from the top here. I apologize for that. Edison had a 3.4% generation rate schedule increase starting October 1st. Back in the fall of 2020, DCE enacted a rate stabilization schedule, which allows staff to adjust rates in response to changes to the PCIA and Southern California Edison rate changes. We make these changes within the limits established by the board. Currently, it's a 0 to 1% rate discount on the Desert Saver rate and a up to a 14% premium on the carbon-free 100% rate. We, in correspondence with SCE's rates, have adjusted DCE rates commencing October 1st. And if we can go through and see what the summary does here, you'll see that for a $100 bill, Southern California Edison's rate adjustment increases a $100 bill approximately $1.27. The corresponding rate increase for DCE's Desert Saver rate is approximately $1.25, again, maintaining that modest discount versus Southern California Edison's base product rate. And DCE's 100% carbon-free rate increases approximately $1.55 per $100 average bill. I want to reiterate here that the ability to raise rates within the context of board-authorized parameters keeps us on track, as Jacqueline was discussing, towards attaining our desired reserve margin, which we expect we're going to hit probably toward the end of 2024. Once we get that margin established, it gives DCE a significant amount of additional flexibility when it comes to how we respond and react to Southern California Edison and other regulatorily prescribed rate changes. So I guess from your consultant's perspective, I'm saying I think the board is doing a wonderful job getting us on track and driving this train towards the reserve goals that we've set for ourselves. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Vice Chair Jonathan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Don, just on that last slide that was up there, I'm curious, the 100% carbon free option went up, maybe $1.55, I don't remember.
Yes.
There was not a comparison to SCE's carbon-free option, which, as I understand, is not available to new customers, but continued to be in existence for existing customers. How does DCE's carbon-free option compare to SCE's equivalent, mostly equivalent option?
Yeah, this is kind of a chicken and egg question here. If I look at an average monthly bill, instead of what happens on a $100 basis, your 100% carbon-free rate right now on an average monthly bill is about $195 a month. That's based on 564 kilowatt hours of consumption. If we look at, as Tom discussed, we looked at Southern California Edison's 100% green rate, which is not available, that rate is about $165 a month. So it's about $30 a month higher on a total month average consumption basis. But again, that SCE rate was a boutique rate that was set up a couple of years ago. It's currently fully subscribed and is not available to any SCE customers. So it's clearly an apples and oranges comparison as we speak. Desert Community Energy's 100% carbon free rate compares reasonably favorably with other community choice aggregation 100% green rates. And without getting into the nuances, all 100% green rates are not 100% carbon free rates like the premium product that Palm Springs provides. Please interrupt.
Okay, just because I don't want to forget, on your last point, you said that, I thought I heard you say Edison's program is not is fully subscribed and no longer available to any customer or to any new customer?
It's no longer available to any customer. Let me clarify that. Those 2,000 customers that are participating in that product are indeed receiving that rate.
Yeah.
But if another person calls to try to subscribe to that rate, it is not available to new subscribers.
And I heard you say just 2,000 SE customers have that. Okay. And this is a little bit far afield from the basic agenda item, and staff can feel free to respond at the next, or you, Don, at the next meeting. But I'm just curious about whether or not, and maybe it's a short answer, that program is expected to emerge again at some point in the future, or was it just a one-off kind of, let's do this and we're done, and it may or may not happen ever again?
On Edison's website, it indicates it anticipates that a 100% product will again be available at some point in the future. And it was a little broadbanded on that. It didn't exactly say when. As your consultant, though, I will suggest that the cost of these green products have indeed increased since Edison established its current 100% product, which is not accepting new subscribers. So I anticipate that the next product that Edison provides will be very much comparable to the current DCE product, if it's of comparable quality.
It's very helpful. Thank you, Don.
Anything else on this? Thank you so much, Don. Very much appreciated as always. So with this, we have some information items just for the public: attendance, unaudited financial report as of August 31st, 2022, and the unaudited year-to-year financial report as of August 31st, 2022. People can see those online. We'll now take public comment on non-agenda item. Felshi, do you, I don't see any, but I'm just looking quickly. I do see a hand up.
We have one hand raised from Mr. Barrett.
Yeah, so Mr. Barrett, please go ahead and please try and limit your comments to 2 minutes. If you unmute, you can go ahead.
Okay, I run Zoom meetings, but could I figure this out? No.
You are good.
This is actually a very simple comment. I had followed the reports from your last meeting, which would be the September meeting, I guess. And maybe it's because I'm a sort of a technology nerd, but I found the reports about the Cape Generating Plant to be quite interesting. And I thought that it might help for customers to understand DCE better if they had some information once in a while about these sorts of plants and how they work, why they're chosen, and that sort of thing. I think I figured it all out from reading it through the minutes and in the original proposal, but it was not immediately clear. Some sort of accessible comments maybe through news stories or on the website, that makes it easy to follow and see where's the energy coming from and why are we doing this? That's my comment.
Great. Very much appreciate your comment. And thank you for reading this. And I think that's an important comment. Do we have any other public comments?
Chair, I see no other hands raised and we received no written comments.
Okay. So with that, the next DCE meeting will be held November 21st, 2022 at 3 p.m. via Zoom webinar. And we will adjourn and have a great rest of your day, everyone.
Can I just before we adjourn, I'm really sorry, very quickly, on the next meeting, I just want to point out that it's Thanksgiving week. I am available on the 21st, but I'm also available on the 14th, should it be better suited for our meeting. So just something to keep in mind.
All right, we'll check in with you both and make sure you're both available and our consultants are too.
Yeah.
Okay. And the only other thing I would mention on that next meeting is we had discussion yesterday and a request to look at the procedure for replacing board members. And I think there was going to be a memo to us and our respective city managers. And I want to make sure that we get that by the next meeting, whenever it's scheduled for, because if it's possible that action may need to be taken that meeting. I don't recall the process or procedure. I just don't want to leave us, you know, the board in a lurch without board members.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And the each city council will make its determination. I'll send a note out, as I promised, to the city managers. I'll copy the two of you on it, but it will be probably could be done as a part of the annual selection or nomination to various committees, including DCE. This one's not any particularly different, although I do note DCE could be represented by senior staff, although I don't, I certainly wouldn't encourage that from either of the members.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us of that, Vice Chair. And everyone have a great rest of your day and evening.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.